This morning, I've got a message called, Who Will You Follow in 2019? Last week I preached, Who Will You Serve in 2019? The message is on the internet if you want to hear it. A challenge to us. Who will we serve in 2019? A lot of people say, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to serve Jesus. Yeah, well, let's find out. Are you really? Are you really? And this morning there'll be some challenges as well. Who will you follow in 2019? Open your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 4, verses 17 to 23. Matthew 4, verses 17 to 23 reads, From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. From that time Jesus began to preach. What's the first thing he said? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Notice that. They straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them. And they immediately, notice that word, immediately left the ship and their father, they left their dad, and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Now, I'm going to also read Matthew chapter 16, if you'd like to turn there, please. Matthew chapter 16. Two scriptures this morning. Wow. A lot of Bible, eh? Hey, we need to read more Bible. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 to 27. We're reading. Ready? Verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciple, If any man, listen please, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Verse 25. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? For what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us get something out of these scriptures and this message this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, that we have your word that we can follow too, Lord. That we can follow what you say in your word, Lord. And we know, Lord, that as sinful human beings, if we didn't have your word to guide us and lead us, we wouldn't know what truth was, Lord, and we'd end up following all sorts of things. So we thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving us the Bible that we can hold in our hands and read, Lord, and know which way we should walk to please you, Lord, and to find ourselves in the right place at the end of it. Pray for your blessing upon the people. Let your Holy Spirit move among us and speak to our hearts, Lord, today. Open our eyes and our ears that we might see and hear, and our hearts to receive what you want to speak to us this day, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Last Sunday morning I brought a message from chapter 24 of the book of Joshua entitled, Who Will You Serve in 2019? The message was really a question, and the obvious answer to that question, which I hope everyone agreed with, originated from verse 24 of Joshua chapter 24, where the people responded to Joshua by declaring, The Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. That's what they all said. The Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. This morning, you can listen to that message on the internet if you're interested in it. I'm not the greatest preacher in the world. In fact, I'm not a great orator of any stretch of the imagination, but I've got a lot to say. The Lord gives me a lot to speak about. And if you listen to that message from last week, it'll challenge you. It'll challenge you. And this morning, I've got another question, much like the one I preached last Sunday, but rather than asking who will you serve in 2019, this morning I want to ask, who will you follow? Who will you follow in 2019? If we are Christians, the immediate answer that we should come to, that should come to our minds, is that I'm going to follow Jesus. Amen? The Lord Jesus Christ is my leader, and I'm going to follow Him. Is that right? Right? Was that your first thought? Alan's was. Well, if it was, that's actually the right answer. That's the right answer. As Christians, our immediate response should be that we're going to follow Jesus. We're going to follow His teachings and His examples that we read in our Bibles. That's what we're going to do. Amen? That's who we're going to follow, and that's who we're going to look to for our leadership, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what the Bible clearly teaches us that we should do. In our opening scripture of Matthew 16, we read in verse 24 the words Jesus spoke to His disciples. If any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. And then in verse 25 and 26, Jesus gave some reasons as to why it would be a good thing to follow Him. He said in verse 25, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for My sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Not worth it. Not worth it. So we see here that Jesus tells us, we who profess to be Christians, that we should be denying ourselves and following Him. Jesus should be our leader and we should follow. Even to death if needed, we should follow Him. So if you came up with that answer, that you're going to follow Jesus no matter what, then according to Jesus Himself, that's the correct answer. Unfortunately though, many who come seeking the Lord and who eagerly profess today that they will follow Jesus, by the time tomorrow comes, they say that today, but by the time tomorrow comes, they have abandoned Him and gone back to serving self and immersing themselves in the things of the world. These are the people represented by the different types of soil in the parable of the sower in Matthew 13. One person hears the gospel but doesn't really understand it. So the devil snatches it away from him. Another person hears the gospel, gets all excited about it, but when a bit of persecution comes, because somebody finds out maybe he's a Christian, he gives it all away and goes back to his old life. Another person also hears the gospel, and he starts off with a lot of activity and great determination to follow the Lord, but he's unable to forsake the enticements of the worldly pleasures and the deceitfulness of riches, and so he too falls away to follow the world and the lusts of the flesh. When these people responded to the gospel, though, none of them were able to fulfill the Lord's initial requirement, that of having to deny themselves if they really intended to follow Him. And therefore, despite that they might have attended church for a while, they were never really saved. They weren't really saved. They weren't true followers of the Lord Jesus Christ in the first place, you see. I've witnessed many people over the years who have excitedly testified in front of everybody that they have been converted and how they now love the Lord with all their heart and soul, and they would be willing to sacrifice all to serve and follow Him. I've seen lots of people like that over the nearly 40 years I've been a Christian. Shortly thereafter, however, after their testimony, they abandoned that testimony and returned to their original lifestyle. The world and the flesh and the devil has a strong hold on us. It isn't that many of these people weren't genuine in their professed intentions. It's just that they hadn't really considered what is required if a person is genuine about their intention to faithfully follow Jesus. Easy believism and the softening of the message of the gospel by whoever evangelized them had left them unprepared for the real cost of genuinely following the Lord Jesus Christ. They hadn't heard all the message. What is required, all right? Usually it was because repentance hadn't been mentioned. Or if it had been, it wasn't explained biblically. There's all sorts of explanations about what repentance really is today. And some of it is horrendously in error. In Luke 14, 25-33, you can open there, please. In Luke 14, we read something that Jesus told a huge crowd of potential converts who, like the people we've just spoken about, who quickly fell away from following the Lord, they hadn't yet understood what their obligation would be if they were to be true followers of Christ. Because of the things they'd heard about Him, a large number of people were gathering themselves to the Lord, mostly out of curiosity. So he had to make it plain to them the difference between a truly committed disciple who loved his teachings and a casual follower who was really only attracted by the crowds and the excitement created by the miracles he was performing. When I was in the AOG, they had a big drive, an evangelistic outreach. They said, what we need to do is have miracles happening in the church. We need to have more stuff happening in the church to attract the people to come, you see. That's what they taught. And they got Rodney Howard Brown here and filled that church so full that I couldn't even sit in my normal chair. There was strangers in our church. They came from all over the place. Busloads of them. Big heaps of buses pulled up outside the church. And hundreds and hundreds of people in the building and outside the building everywhere. Ah, this is the bloke that performs miracles. So people came. They had an altar call. Hundreds of people went forward. Hundreds went forward. Where are they today? I don't know. They're only coming to see the miracles he was performing. Now you see there is an important distinction between being a committed disciple. There's an important distinction between being a committed disciple and a casual follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he explained that difference. He explained that difference here in Luke chapter 14, which I imagine thinned the crowds rather substantially as it did in John chapter 6. John chapter 6 is documented that many of his professed disciples forsook him and walked no more with him. When he started talking his doctrine, they left. They left. In Luke 14, verses 25 to 33, we read, and there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come after me and hate not his father, his mother, and wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Before we continue, let me just explain that in the context, the word hate here basically means to love one thing less than we do something else. Amen? A lot of people get caught up with that. Hate my wife. Hate my mother and my father. In the case of it being a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, it simply means that Jesus must be loved above everything else we love. He must be preeminent. Otherwise, he is not loved at all. We are not at liberty to literally hate our parents. This would clearly be contrary to the fifth commandment where we are instructed to honour our father and our mother. So Jesus is simply telling the crowd of people that if we are to be true followers of him, then we are to love our parents and our spouses and our children and brothers and sisters less than we love him. Jesus tells us that we demonstrate our love for him by keeping or obeying his commandments. Is that right? Not how much we jump around and tell everybody excitedly how much we love Jesus. It's how much we obey his commandments. We are to obey the Lord and his teaching before family and friends and be willing to forsake all others when he calls us to follow him. As if all that isn't challenging enough, though, Jesus goes on to say in verse 26 of Luke 14 there, that if a person truly wants to follow after him and be one of his disciples, that person is also required to hate even his own life. Wow! This doesn't mean that we are to be suicidal, manic depressants, but it just means that if a situation is presented, we must also be willing to forsake the pleasures and comforts of our own lives and the allurements of the world and its riches for the sake of following the Lord Jesus Christ in spirit and in truth. In verse 27, Jesus said, whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. He doesn't say might not, probably not, but he plainly says that unless we are willing to forsake ourselves for his sake, then we cannot be his disciples. It's really a waste of time trying to follow Jesus if we are not willing to bear our cross. He tells us, you must be willing to take up your cross daily and follow me. The cross is a very graphic symbol of death. Don't see it today. But in those days, if you saw somebody walking down the street carrying a cross, you knew he wasn't coming back. That meant death. It's a symbol of death. Bearing our cross means death to our regard to ourself. The Lord is simply saying to the crowds of people who showed interest in him that if they were not willing to think less about pampering self and less of worldly possessions and comforts and less of all the earthly friends than they did of him, and if they were not willing to obey him above all others, then they could have no true attachment to him. Reading on from verse 28 of Luke chapter 14, Jesus put some questions to the crowd that was following him. He asked them, "For which of you intending," he's asking them to count the cost here, "are you willing to forsake all these things?" And then he puts a question to them in verse 28 of Luke chapter 14. "For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, and all that behold it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish." Big shame. Jesus is talking about our testimony here. He's talking about our testimony. Lots of people get all excited about Jesus' offering of forgiveness and to pay the penalty for their sins, and in their joy they hastily profess with their mouths that they are now going to follow him for the rest of their lives. But they haven't considered what Jesus expects of them if they are truly going to do that. They haven't considered. And so they profess with their mouths that they are Christians, but by their works they deny him. And everyone, particularly the unsaved, recognise their hypocrisy and mock them. And worse than that, they also mock the Lord. They mock the Lord. These neutral and uncommitted followers of Jesus are accused in Romans 2:24 that the name of the Lord is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you. Continuing on, we don't want to have that accusation to us, my friends. We need to make sure if we're true followers of Jesus Christ, we've counted the cost and we're doing it according to the Word of God. Continuing on in verse 31 of Luke 14, Jesus asked, "What king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sends an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace." Try to make peace with the bloke. "So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." That's pretty plain English, isn't it? So, if you're one of the people here this morning who immediately thought in answer to my question, "Who will you follow in 2019? That I'm going to follow Jesus, then that is the right answer. That's the right answer. As Christians, our first response should be that we're going to follow Jesus. Amen? We're going to zealously follow and obey the teachings of Jesus that we read in our Bibles. And we're going to look to him for our leadership in all things. If that's your profession, understanding, and being willing to carry out, with his help, all those things that Jesus said are required of us in order to do that faithfully and biblically, then I say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Good on you. And I'm going to profess along with you, that's what I intend to do too. I intend to go follow Jesus in 2019. Understanding all the conditions. I said you must be willing to at least want to do that. When we first get saved the first day, and you hear all these things, we can't do it. But we have to be willing to obey God. We have to be willing. If you're here this morning, though, and you've never considered it before about being a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you need to know about these things that Jesus said are required of anyone who claims to follow him. Jesus has some demands upon anyone who hears his call to come follow me. If we are unwilling to at least want to meet these demands, then perhaps we're not really genuine about wanting to follow him at all. We only think we are. As we learned last week, we can't serve two masters, you see. The God of self has to be crucified upon the cross with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to have ourselves crucified. In answer to my question this morning about who we will follow in 2019, that's the part about following Jesus, all right? There's some things there we need to consider, eh? And if you've been following Jesus all for 50 years, I don't care how long, and you're not doing it according to his stipulations in the scriptures, then you need to get on your knees and pray to God and get sorted out, I say. That's what I say. If you're not doing it according to His Word, then maybe there's something that you haven't considered about salvation. And we need to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, my friends. It's not a light matter. Anyhow, in answer to my question this morning about who we will follow in 2019, I want to suggest that there is another answer to the question of the Christian we Christians can consider. There's another answer that we can give. The Bible teaches us that there is someone else who we can follow and even should follow. Really? Yeah, really? There is. Having made that seemingly controversial statement, though, I'm also going to add a proviso. A condition that says that this other answer must not be to the exclusion of our first answer. Amen? That we're going to follow Jesus. And nor must it contradict it in any way. It has to be strictly in conjunction with the first answer. If it isn't, then the second answer I want us to consider will be made invalid. Are you interested? Are you interested already? All right. Well, let's see what the Bible has to say on this very interesting and important subject of who else we can follow in 2019. I want you to turn with me, please, to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and we'll be reading verses 14 through to 16. Following that, we'll take a look at another passage of Scripture, also in 1 Corinthians, but in chapter 11. And we'll see what other legitimate answer there might be to our question, who will you follow in 2019? In 1 Corinthians 4, 14 to 16, the Apostle Paul was appealing to the congregation of the Corinthian church. Divisions within the congregation had formed. The people had split into separate groups. One group professing to follow Paul, another group professing to follow Apollos, another Cephas, and another professing to only follow Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. In our previous chapters of 1 Corinthians, Paul had been chastising the people about this disunity. And beginning in verse 14, he stated, "I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons I warn you. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me." Huh? "Be ye followers of me." So here we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, Paul admonishes the people to be followers of him, to follow him. Now if we take a look at 1 Corinthians 11, verses 1 and 2, go back to 1 Corinthians 11, we see that Paul restates this instruction, where he says in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 11, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Verse 2, "Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I have delivered them to you." What God wants to teach us here in these two passages of Scripture, as well as in other places in the Bible, is that we can, and we even should, follow authorized and approved leaders in the churches, who are faithful to Him, faithful to His Word, and who have consistently demonstrated that they truly are genuine and faithful. If they are, then they have approval and authority even from God to say along with Paul, "Be ye followers of me." Oh, you're not Paul. It's the usual answer you get. You're not Jesus, you're not Paul. Okay. However, let me acknowledge something here. Unlike Paul, leaders within the churches today are not apostles. And the things that the church leaders speak are not infallible. Nor can we record what they teach and then claim it to be inspired Scripture. The only infallible authority in the church today is the Scriptures themselves. Despite that there are many false apostles, false prophets and false teachers running to and fro around the world today who would like to convince us otherwise, even here in Cairns I might add, especially here in Cairns, this seems to be the bastion of them here, there is no such thing as an infallible pastor or teacher in the churches today. Is that clear? There is no one who is infallible. The Scriptures are infallible. The pastors and teachers in the church of today are not infallible. Now, you might have heard some very spiritual sounding Christians make the comment that we are not to follow men. We're not to follow men. In fact, they will try to make out that you believe some kind of heresy if you disagree with them about that. At first, it sounds very scriptural that we are not to follow men. But I think you should be able to see from the two scriptures we've already referred to that it is right and that it is biblical to follow certain leaders. Did you get that from the scriptures I read? Notice that I said, you can follow certain leaders. It has to be church leaders who live up to the criteria that Scripture demands of them. There are very clear requirements that a leader must meet in order for him or her to be able to proclaim to those they teach, "Be ye followers of me." They have to come under certain criteria. Years ago, when I took a stand against the false teaching and the demonic activities that were being introduced into the AOG churches, I was told by the pastors and elders that I should just submit myself to the leadership of the church, and that I should stop making a fuss and upsetting all the people and being a blockage to the free flow of the Holy Spirit coming into the church. I was told to just follow the leaders, because they were the ones who would give an account to God for what took place in the church. A lot of truth in that. A lot of truth. They are the ones, the pastor's been called to lead the church. God gives him wisdom on how to lead the church, and he should lead it according to God's word. And we should follow them. That's what the AOG people are saying, the leaders out there. You need to just let the leaders lead the church, Huey. And I was a leader out there, by the way. But you should let the leaders lead the church, and they'll get judged by God. Is something wrong? God doesn't tell us to do that. God doesn't tell us. Because they've been led false doctrines over many years, people in the Pentecostal churches have been conditioned with the unbiblical belief that they are never to question God's anointed leaders, not for any reason. That used to be the saying out there, if you mention something against the pastor or question them in any way, touch not the Lord's anointed. And the people would shrink back in fear. Wow, touching the Lord's anointed. And they are threatened. They're threatened with dire consequences originating from the hand of God if people were reckless enough to do so. I had plenty of warnings about the stuff I was saying, I can tell you. Touch not the Lord's anointed. You're not the pastor. Sit down and be quiet. Writing as the general superintendent of the Pentecostal AOG denomination in 1997, the 1997 edition of the Australian Evangel magazine, which was the AOG flagship publication for church leaders at that time, which was released in 1997, the Australian Evangel magazine, Brian Houston, you've all heard of Brian Houston, eh? I don't have to explain who Brian Houston is. He was the leader. He was from Hillsong, but he was the leader of the AOG at that time, the top dog. And he wrote the following defence in response of numerous concerns that had been raised with him, and the AOG executive regarding the welcoming and promotion of the demonic Toronto Blessing Revival and a bunch of other things that I wrote to them about. In defence of all the spiritually blind AOG pastors, he wrote, "There is a need in the church today." Now listen what Brian Houston wrote. He's the top dog of the Pentecostal movement in Australia, the top dog of the general superintendent of the AOG. He wrote this: "There is a need in the church today for gifted followers." Gifted followers. It involves taking risk and trusting leadership. Followers have to follow the lead. Further, you have to be able to change direction, often quickly. As the leader turns a corner, you have to have the capacity to go with the flow wherever it may take you. People are far too quick to turn away from those who have been their spiritual leaders. Followers shouldn't. We should honour and respect them. People who don't are insecure. Never think that it was a coincidence that God gave you the leader you have. End of quote. You hear some things in there, make some bells ring? A lot of the people in the AOG didn't. I did. I had bells ringing all over the place. Contrary to the requirement of followers needing to have the capacity to go with the flow and to turn corners quickly as the leaders change direction, the Bible tells us that we are to follow leaders only insofar as they themselves follow Christ. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Take note of that condition there in Paul's teaching. The condition automatically disqualifies a church leader's authority if he doesn't measure up to it. Paul said, "Be ye followers of me," and then he added the proviso, "even as I also am of Christ." In Hebrews 13:7, we see this condition repeated. the verse teaches us in verse 7, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. Considering the end of their conversation, that is, the things that they teach and do. Claiming to follow Christ and speaking the word of God means that the leader is to speak sound doctrine according to the Bible. God doesn't require us to blindly and naively follow the leader of the church. We are not to follow the leaders of the church who is preaching a false doctrine or preaching false gospels, false doctrines that will wreck our faith. We're not to follow them. Quite the contrary, actually. In 1 Thessalonians 5:21, for example, we are told, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. In Philippians 4:9, Paul confirmed his teaching. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Here he reinstated his teaching that we can and we should follow the teachings and the examples of church leaders who have demonstrated in themselves that they are followers of the Lord Jesus and that they are faithful to his word and that they are demonstrating this faithfulness in their own lives, not just in church on Sunday, but in their homes all week as well. Paul said in verse 9, those things which we have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. That's what he said to the people. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Paul was telling the Philippian church that all they had seen and known and heard of him, it was proper for them to imitate and follow. They should follow him and his example. Is that right? Are you with me? Paul teaches we're to follow people who are walking according to the word. If you've got a church leader that's walking according to the word and you know he is and he's demonstrating that, you can and you should follow him. But if he's not, you shouldn't. Who will you follow in 2019? If we are a genuine Bible-believing and Bible-obeying church, then in answer to that question, we should be able to profess that we are going to follow the leaders that God has given us in our local church. But not to the, listen carefully, not to the exclusion of first being followers of Christ. We follow Christ. And then we follow those leaders who demonstrate that they too follow Christ. Paul said, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Hebrews 13:7 said, remember them that had the rule over you, church leaders, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. Turn with me to Philippians 3, please, and verses 17 and 18. We'll close with this. Philippians 3, verses 17 and 18. Verse 17, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. Look at our example and follow us. Paul is encouraging us to follow him in his example as a professed Christian. He is also encouraging us to follow those leaders down through the church age who imitate his example and who demonstrated in their own Christian walk and in their life. However, Paul is also bringing a warning that we are not to follow those professed leaders in the churches who do not walk according to his example and who do not walk according to the teachings in Scripture. In verse 18, he adds, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. So be careful. Be careful. We don't just follow a church leader because he's the leader of the church. We check him out. And he's not leading according to the word of God, and he won't, get out of there. That's why we've got Coastline Baptist Church. Because we had leaders who weren't leading according to the word of God. I always remember Rob coming to me at Trinity Baptist Church and said, our friend Dave Crow has got a question for you. What is a round peg doing in a square hole here? Because we went and joined with a church that was squabbling about the King James Version and they had a fight there. We came out of a Pentecostal thing. We'd been out of church for about 4 or 5 years. We found Trinity Baptist Church. But they were going off the rails. We went there, not understanding the stuff. They'd had a fight over the King James Version, and the pastor and the leaders had won, and the New King James was the pulpit Bible. But you could use the NIV there. So they were going off the rails. And there was even the pastor preached from the pulpit one time. You can take words out of the Bible and add words in so long as it doesn't change the context. That's what the pastor preached. I knew. I'm in trouble. Now you hear that sort of thing, you should know you're in trouble. And eventually we had to leave. So that's why the square peg was in the round hole or vice versa, because we didn't understand those issues at the time. But we learned about them and we found out that they were very important. And then Coastline Baptist Church was formed after 5 years down there. We got out. Another 2 or 3 years later, Coastline Baptist Church started. Anyhow, who will you follow in 2019? I'm going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. But while ever the leadership that God has given us here at Coastline demonstrate in their teachings and in their example of their Christian walk that they too are faithfully following Christ, I'm going to take heed of Paul's teaching and follow them as well. Now, we're without a pastor at the moment. We're without a pastor, but we've got our pulpit committee in place and we're travelling on. And that applies to us too. If you see us doing something that is unbiblical or teaching something unbiblical, you need to speak to us. Don't just accept it and blindly come along with us if we're leading you down the garden path. Amen? So far, so good. We've got leadership installed in here that are proving themselves faithful to the Bible. And we intend to keep doing that. But if we're not, you need to make sure you tell us about it. All right? Don't be scared. We're not to follow the leader anywhere he goes and be ready to change direction at his whim. No, we're to follow him only as far as he follows the Lord. You might ask, how can we be sure that the church leaders are faithfully following Christ themselves? That's pretty easy. Simple. Observe them. Read your Bible and then evaluate that their talk, as well as their walk, agrees with the Lord Jesus, what the Lord Jesus teaches. Amen? That's all you've got to do. Look in your Bible. If I teach you that the Lord's Day is on Tuesday, well, you know there's something wrong, don't you? And telling you all to come to church Tuesday, you know there's something wrong. How do you know? By the Word of God. The Lord's Day we meet. Amen? If the pastor and teachers of the church are faithfully following the Lord, then great. Scripture assures us that not only are we to obey the call of the Lord Jesus Christ to follow Him, but it also confirms to us that as the leaders in your church demonstrate that they are following the Lord, then we can and should also follow their teaching and their example. And I hope, by my teaching and my example, you can follow me and Andy and Lachlan as the installed leaders of this church. If you think there's a problem, come and talk to us from the Scriptures. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord, to look in your Word and see this truth, Lord, that you haven't left us without earthly teachers and leaders, Lord, that you've provided for us. You provided us with your Word. You provided us with the Holy Spirit to bring conviction. And we thank you, Lord, that in your Word you tell us that we are to follow godly leaders, leaders who are leading by example and also by their teaching. And we pray, Lord, that the Coastline Baptist Church would continue along that path, Lord, that as we wait for you to provide us with a pastor, Lord, that we would remain true and faithful to your Word, Lord, following Christ, and then have the people follow us too, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to close with a hymn, as we usually do. Now, if I close here with a rock song today, you know there's something wrong, eh? If you see all the musicians now heading up there with all their microphones and guitars and drums and etc., etc., there's something wrong, my friend. They're going with the world. The world and the flesh and the devil is out to get us. If you see the world and the flesh and the devil getting in here, come and speak to us. Don't just tolerate it and put up with it. And you know, it's not only the Pentecostal churches today that all the rock and roll music is taking place. It's in independent Baptist churches. Independent Baptist churches today, you could go into some of them, or you wouldn't know whether you're in a Friday night rock show downtown. It's getting that bad. It's getting bad. We're not doing that here. If you see that happen, come and talk to us too. If you see Andy roll up with his guitar tonight, please come and tell me. How about stand with me, please? 396, I'll live for him.